Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungula. We've got a great episode for you today. Right now, I'm going to read a comment from a previous episode. This is an Instagram comment. Now, this was our episode where Danielle and I were talking about social cues and, you know, like the unspoken rules. This one got a lot of engagement. A lot of people had something to say. And it was, do you acknowledge when somebody's pregnant? Do you say like, oh, when are you due? Or do you not? Because what if they're not pregnant? So many people chiming in, telling the stories of the time they either made the mistake or somebody made the mistake on them. I'm going to read this comment. This is from L underscore M underscore K-P-O-R. Okay. She says, someone said congratulations to me last month. I am not expecting. So I told her that and kindly changed the topic so her face could recover from the embarrassment. I don't know which one of us was more mortified. Girl, what a kind way to respond to someone, because like that is such an, you're embarrassed. Like, oh my God, somebody thought I was pregnant. And then you extend like a grace to that person because you're like, well, that's embarrassing for them too. We're both embarrassed in this situation. So let me be kind and just change the subject. Oh, I'm not expecting. But anyway, what's this? Blah, 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 blah. What a kind way to respond.
Very kind.
Yeah. It is embarrassing for both parties.
Like, I can't imagine just being saying that so confidently and then they're like, oh, I'm not. And it's like, oh. And I'm, at that moment, I would be like, and the ground needs to open and consume me whole, please.
It's embarrassing for both parties. So anyway, I thought that was a very kind way to respond to somebody. But we have a great episode for you guys. If you want to leave us comments, you can do that on Instagram, on YouTube. You can leave us an Apple review. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. You can also call us and you can tell us what you're grateful for. What you're mad about, what's your mattitude? Do you need advice on something? You can ask us a question. Do you want to leave us a verbal comment? You can chime in and leave us a verbal comment. Danielle will give you all the information on how you can do that.
Yes, that number is 747-300-5380. You can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, the form on Angela's website. And as always, don't forget, give us your name. We love names.
Yes, we want to know who you are. Now, on this episode, you guys, gosh, we're in for a good one, okay? Our guest this week is J.B. Copeland. If you recognize his name, it's probably because you've seen one of his viral inspirational videos. What do they call him? What is like because he's not like a motivational speaker. He's like
an advocate.
He was an athlete and then he went to a mental health advocate and creator. But his videos that he puts out are inspiring. They're powerful. They're uplifting.
They're little nuggets of wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what he did on this podcast. He just kept dropping nuggets after nuggets. And we had a great, great conversation. You're really going to enjoy this episode with the wonderful, the lovely J.B. Copeland.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on. Leg up, leg up.
Okay. Yay. J.B. Copeland. What an incredible story you have out the gate. This was a little vision I had in my head this morning that I get to know you right now.
Yep.
And I had this thought that I was like, I wonder, I mean, because your life is incredible. The platform that you have feels like you probably didn't expect this platform.
No.
Right? Okay.
For sure not, yeah.
So that's what I thought in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if like, let's say when you were younger back in school and you were playing football, right?
Yeah.
and you just did this play that was killer. Fans are going wild and crazy. It was like one of those moments where you're like, yep, this is my life. This mm-hmm. is what I do. I'm stellar at this. It was like one of those moments. And then let's say like you went back to the bench to go rest and somebody tapped you on the shoulder and was like, hey, you're going to get addicted to drugs and you're not going to play football anymore.
Yeah.
But you're going to be a guiding voice for millions of people.
Wow. Yeah.
You're going to have an incredible life.
Well,
see you later. And then leaves.
That would be insane. And I don't think I would believe them.
Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't believe that. It's crazy. It's crazy how things kind of played out and the whole, really the football led me into the drug use.
Yeah.
And losing that identity and being and playing and the concussions and whatnot, and to the Xanax, to the opioids, to like not understanding like why I'm even here or what's the point of me being here? Why can't I deal with this?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy journey, and there's still to this day ups and downs. And so, I'm hoping to figure it out at some point.
That's another thing too that I want to touch on. And then I'm going to say, like, to people listening and watching right now who aren't familiar with your story, I'd love if you could give just like a snapshot of like your journey to how we got to right here today. But one thing I wanted to mention that I totally respect and love about you is, so something that happens when there's like a guiding voice, a pastor, somebody who's like a motivational speaker, somebody who is this type of identity person mm-hmm. in the universe, in the world, they are that for others. They get held to a standard. They didn't ask to be that, right? But they get held to a standard of like, oh, well, you preach positivity, so you're not allowed to have these moments of whatever. Correct. You're not allowed to, you just put out a video about how to be in flow, so you're not allowed to not be in flow because you just told me this how to be in flow. I love that you're like, hey, this is how you can be in flow, because this is how I was 2 weeks ago when I was not in flow.
Literally.
Like, yes. How you're so real with like, yeah, I can help guide you because I'm also dealing with this too, so honestly and vulnerably. So that was something that I really appreciated.
It's funny, and I appreciate you saying that. When I grew up, I grew up in a very like churchy home. My dad was a pastor, and I remember being in like youth group. I was at church every Wednesday night and every Sunday, and I was dealing with a lot as a kid. You know, you're dealing with all these emotions, and you're going through puberty. And I remember thinking to myself that my youth pastor and my dad were perfect. Mm-hmm. And they never showed me their darkness. They weren't vulnerable. And I don't think that they did that out of them trying to be, you know, they were trying to protect their image.
Sure.
And because of the people above them and mm-hmm. cultures, well, you better not show people that. Mm-hmm. And so I started to feel certain ways, or I'd mess up, or I'd, you know, feel anxious and depressed. And I would think, there must be something wrong with me because the people that I look up to, them, and like it, I'm not there and I don't know how to get there. Mm. And it makes you want to hide.
Yeah.
And maybe people that you look up to, or maybe people that, you know, are whatever, they're not honest. And so that's been, I always think back to how I felt as a kid of, I wish that they would have shown me their darkness, not in like a weird way, but in a way that like humanized them.
Yeah.
Because we all struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And like, we're all really just that little kid that got bigger.
Yeah. Literally.
Like, we're still that little kid.
Literally.
Man, that's so good. So give us a little snapshot of like your journey and how we got to where we are today.
Yeah. Little snapshot. Yeah. So, football was my life through high school. Ended up getting a scholarship to the University of North Carolina.
Wow.
Was there. Finally, I felt like I got to the pinnacle. We're going to go to the NFL. It's going to happen.
Hey.
And get there 2 weeks in, fail a drug test for marijuana.
Dang.
And they're like, it's kind of a slap on the wrist.
Uh-huh, sure.
Then I punched someone in the face, get sued.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I got away from home and it didn't go too good. I started making stupid decisions.
Uh-huh.
And then that same year, I got back-to-back concussions in games and they retired me. And like literally my whole career was over within a couple of weeks.
What an interesting statement. They retired me.
Yeah. Well, the Will Smith concussion movie had just come out. There's all this study on CTE. I'd gotten tons of concussions growing up, but there was such an uproar about concussions and CTE at the time, and there still is. And I'm glad that there is because, like, it's brain injury.
Yep.
That when I got one and I didn't stay away from the game long enough and I came back too early and just a normal hit.
Dang.
Made me black out. And so I got another one. So they were like, I think that you're probably not in a place to keep playing. I played linebacker. Hitting is like what we do every single play. And so, yeah, they retired me.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
Okay, before we move on to the next snapshot, walk me through that a little bit of being told your dream, JK.
I think it's so, I almost look back and I feel like, it was a very complicated situation because like almost a part of me was relieved and I think that there had been this performance of getting to this place and I think I just maybe a lot of pressure had been put on me, but really it's the amount of pressure that I was putting on myself to like the band-aid of marijuana and like the band-aid of, you know, suppressing was not working anymore. And things were starting to happen, like the failed drug test, like the not doing good in school, the acting out, to where it was almost like for a week or so, I was relieved I didn't have to show up to anything and disappear. I remember like you have all these headaches and stuff, but I just remember like just staying in my room for a week straight, watching Hulu and not going to sleep and waking up when I wanted. And, you know, that relief only lasted for so long,
sure,
you know, because then you're like, well, who am I now?
Yeah.
So there was there was relief, but there was also a lot of, you know, almost like this crisis of who I am. Who am I without this?
It's almost like as you're saying, like I was relieved and for those reasons that you mentioned. And I wonder if there was also relief, but not really being fully conscious and aware of why you're relieved. Meaning like,
yes,
God has this huge plan for your life, is fully aware of steps C, D, E, F, G that are going to get you over here and is fully aware of this. And I wonder if there was just some sort of like inner peace with your soul, because your soul already knows what was going to go down, that like you're not even fully aware of why I'm relieved right now, but like your insides were like, this is the path.
Yeah. And I've never really talked about the relief factor before. And when there was relief and I think about being a little kid and I liked to draw, I liked to sing, I liked acting or being fun and bubbly. And I think I felt like I had to do something like where I was raised, the culture of football, like that's where the cool kids were. That's what you wanted to be. You wanted to be the cool football player. And luckily I had the athletic ability to be able to be that, but I had to shut off this soft part of me that is where all my creativity comes from for what I do now. And sometimes I feel like I swing even too far soft, but I think there was this missing piece. I think that there needs to be balance, and there was no balance for me at that time. It was hardened. It was no emotion. It was anger. All I thought, every day is just like, it's not actual warfare, but like just constant physical tackling and lifting. And those are great things, but I think that I had lost that balance. And I think that relief did come in in a way of like, maybe there is something else. Mm. But if I would have known the path to what the, right. what that meant, yeah. I would have probably been like, there's no way.
Yeah. Okay. Continue with your snapshot.
Okay. So, that happened my, sophomore or junior year. And within the next year, I was still on scholarship, but I was a retired player.
Okay.
So I still got drug tested. So within the next year, I failed one drug test, another one, and then I failed a third one, and they kicked me off scholarship.
Wow.
And at that time, my wife's sitting over here, but at that time, my wife and I had really just met.
Uh-huh.
So she came into my life after the football, season and that whole saga, and kind of walked in at my lowest after the concussions. And so she's kind of walking in like, I don't know what she thought, but
what's this mess?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, so I ended up, not only did I get a scholarship to, the University of North Carolina, and like, it's a great academic school, but I lose my football career and then I fail off scholarship. And so it's just like stacked failures, like for years.
Yeah.
And so I ended up not graduating in 2018 like I was supposed to. I did graduate in 2020. I went back and took some online courses just because I had failed out my senior year and graduated. So I am a graduate. But really that just led into four years of hidden drug use. Mm. And so that's kind of where I was at. But then I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I'm using drugs and I go back home and I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? And my dad worked at a church and I was like, well, maybe I should be a youth pastor. And so that was kind of the,
as you're getting high, maybe you should be a youth pastor.
Yeah, maybe I should be a youth pastor. Literally. It's exactly right. And so there was this like so much duality within you, because like on one side, there's this monster that wants to use drugs every day and numb these feelings. Mm. And then on the other side, it's like, I do have some type of gift and I want to help people.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do that. And so, my dad being where he was at on staff, and it just worked out. And I ended up, we ended up getting married and I ended up becoming a youth pastor.
Wow.
And so that over like a 2-year period through like COVID up until 2022, I was just slowly going downhill with the drug use, but at the same time I was a great performer and knew how to rally a team and knew how to build this and whatever, just all for all the wrong reasons. And I got to a point in April of 2022 where Chloe, my wife, was like, there has to be change here. Like, you're hypocritical, like you're showing up at church but you're also doing drugs. Like, it's not a good, she was so kind to me. But then I started having panic attacks, and I never had a panic attack before. That's kind of what took me over the edge, because when it comes to addiction, it's all about control. It's about being able to control, for safety. And so you're controlling the dosage, you're controlling how people see you. But when I lost control physically, and like in these moments, those panic attacks would just come on. I was like, okay, like I need to be in a mental institute. I think like, I don't know what's going on. So, I had a conversation with my wife and she was just like, maybe we should try rehab. And I had never even thought about rehab, because growing up in church, it's about, and I'm all about prayer and I'm all about, religion and church, but I think sometimes we might need a little bit more extra help.
Sure.
On things. So I'd done all the prayers, but I needed tools to actually help me overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
So in June of 2022, I check into rehab, and that's kind of where this whole journey that we're on now started. 60 days there, I went there to get sober, but I really went there and found myself for the first time in my life and realized that maybe there is hope for me, and that maybe things can work out, and things with me and my wife, and maybe I can learn how to be happy and whole within. And that journey is ongoing.
Yeah.
But to be able to at least begin to start that journey was a huge thing for me. And so I got out and kind of stepped away from the church and everything I was doing and was like, let's figure it out. We were living with her parents and we didn't have any money. And my grandma got me a camera. And in May of 2023, about a year after I learned.
It's always grandma coming in clutch. I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to give you this literally tool that'll change your life.
Literally. And so I tell her that all the time, like, you got me that camera. And so I had been doing odd jobs for about a year, like roofing or construction or, hey, let me help you with your social media or marketing, just trying to figure out how to make money. And in May of 2023, I made my first video and went at it for, you know, a couple months and just was trying to be honest and share what I had learned when I was there and share about my life and really just tools that I've learned. And it just popped, and it was by accident, I think.
Do you remember what video it was, like what you were saying that first popped off to where you're like, whoa, people want to hear from me?
Yeah. When I was in rehab, we had learned about a familiar heaven or an unfamiliar hell. And I'd made a video talking about how a lot of times we choose the familiar hell. And that's what I had done. And sometimes I still do choose, you know, that uncomfortability is something that we don't want. But sometimes heaven is on the other side of unfamiliar. And it's on the other side of us learning how to walk with ourselves and walk with the people around us to get to that place, even though it's very uncomfortable. And so that was the first video that really popped off.
Bro, that's a word. Even in just like anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
That I deal with, choosing the the familiar hell. It's uncomfortable. I know it's going to be uncomfortable,
but I know it.
Yeah. So there's that sense of control coming back, right? I know it. I know what it's going to feel like. I know I'm going to have a hard time breathing. I know I'm not going to be able to eat. I know, but at least I know.
Exactly.
It's those unknowns.
Yes.
That'll just dig you into that dark hole. Oh my God, that's a good one.
And I think what I've learned over the years is like you hear a lot about you choose fear or faith. And it's almost impossible to have faith in the midst of familiar. I think faith can only be exercised in the midst of uncertainty and unknown. And so, it's when you choose familiar, you're choosing to be controlled by fear. But when you choose unfamiliarity and uncomfortability, you're choosing to say, I'm going to have faith.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I think that's what I've had to continue to remind myself.
That's so good. And it kind of reminds me of, I went through this season where, you know, as you're chasing your dream or whatever, and when you're on the come up, barely got enough money for some top ramen, some Cheerios. You know what I mean? Like it's that kind of a season, right? Yeah. And in those seasons, speaking for myself, in that season, I relied so heavily on God to get me through, praying for my rent check, praying for some money for food, relying so heavily and deeply on God, then experiencing some success and you got some money in your bank account and you get to this place where, and I remember I said it one time to my mom and she didn't quite catch what I was saying because I think she got a little bit fearful of the words that I said, but the message behind it, what I was trying to communicate, I was saying, it's hard to be needy for God when you don't need God. And I wasn't, and she was like, well, be careful saying that. And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to say I don't need God. I'm just trying to, like, I used to need him for basic living. But now I'm, like, comfortable. How do I continue to need him in this? Like, that's what I was trying to communicate. And it's kind of like what you're saying, like, that with about faith. Yes. Like, man.
Yeah.
Just blowing my mind.
Yes. Well, and it's funny, and you know, my background is church, and so like when I think of things about God, I think about the Bible. And uh, it I think about like the story of like the, and I'm not trying to be preachy or anything, but it's just, I think this goes with what you're saying, but when the Israelites left Egypt and like mm-hmm. Moses took them, you know, and all the miracles, the 10 different miracles, and then splitting the Red Sea and literally them delivered from bondage, mm-hmm. like my rehab experience, delivered mm-hmm. from bondage. And they get out and they're headed to the promised land. And within like weeks, they're worshiping a false god. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is really metaphorical for my life and maybe even a lot of people's lives watching, is like, you know, you have to depend on God during these seasons of internal bondage, and it's the humility's there, you know where you're at. And it's almost like we get delivered from that, or we walk through that season and we have so much faith. And then we're like, well, you kind of just like almost forget what just happened, and the fears come back.
Mm-hmm.
And
time and time again.
And with the Israelites in that story, what they were worried about was manna. They wanted to figure out how to get to the promised land, and they didn't know where they were going to get their food. Mm-hmm. But, and it's because as humans, we're very forgetful. And I think that this is where like daily reflection and meditation come in, of like remembering what God did for you, remembering what he helped you get through. Because when you get on the other side of where you were, and yeah, you do have the money and we've made it, you know, past the sea that split, the fears start coming back in of, well, how am I still going to be happy? Like, yeah. Why do I have this anxiety right now? And we start to create these false beliefs in our heads, these false gods. And I think that is because we tend to, instead of remember what has already been done for us, instead we choose to fear what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can ground ourselves daily, we can realize, yeah, like it might not feel like I need God right now, but why am I so fearful then? You know what I mean? Why am I so fearful in this moment? I need him right now. And so it's just, I think it's just that remembrance. That is kind of what that daily reflection looks like for me, of I was there and I don't want to go back there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like that again. How can I remember so that I can then recenter and trust as I move forward?
Yeah. So good, man. Thank you for sharing all of that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, on this podcast, we do Mattitudes and Gratitudes. Mm-hmm. And we talk, you know, I want to know, what's the thing that makes you mad? What gets on your nerves? What just ticks you right off? Gives you bad attitude? As I call it, a mattitude.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then I want to know about some things that you're grateful for throughout your life. From childhood, from football days, from meeting your wife days, to yesterday, to anything in your life that stirs up this, like, oh, I'm grateful for this. Let's start with the mattitude.
Okay, so this is something that I'm still working through, the mattitude, is I know I talked about being relieved about football, but sometimes I still get really mad that I can't have the mindset I have now and go back and play and be able to have that balance. And I'm still trying to, I still have dreams about football. Like, I'll have dreams that, like, I and back on the team at UNC at 31. And I'm like the older guy.
Like an actual dream.
I'm like in a, like dreaming at nighttime. Uh-huh. Like, and sometimes I miss, I get mad that I somewhat squandered that.
Mm.
But again, you said it was all for a reason, but I think I'm still learning how to let go of that.
There's a phrase that people say, something along the lines of, youth is wasted on the young. If we could go back to our younger days with this mature thought processing, all the things we've experienced, like who we are today, our character today, if we could go back, if I could go back to when my skin was like this tight, ooh, let me tell you, and if I had like the wisdom now and I could, if we could go back to those days with what we have now, That's it's a common sentiment. Like yes. that's a human yes. experience.
Yeah. And sometimes that makes me feel ungrateful for where I'm at. I think what happened with that is, and I think maybe this is what happened with a lot of people, is when you go through a hard time like that, you just lock it away
mm-hmm.
somewhere deep within. Mm-hmm. And I can't deal with the pain of me getting, you know, kicked off scholarship. I can't deal with the pain of me not playing football anymore. I'm just not going to think about it, and I'm going to move on. And I think now, you know, almost 10 years, it's been 8 years.
Wow.
I think those, you know, things that I buried within sometimes come knocking. And I think that that's just a hint that I haven't really grieved it mm-hmm. yet. And so I think that that's kind of where I have, like, maybe I need to go. I haven't gone back to UNC since. Maybe I can go back and give back or make peace. I think sometimes when you have those feelings and like that anger, or I think it's maybe a sign to make peace with something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder too, also, like, if there's still a message in there for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it could be, you got to go grieve it. You got to go back and something in that closure mm-hmm. or whatever. But I wonder if there's still like a message in there for you that just keeps dropping down into your spirit and your subconscious. That's like, it's here.
Yeah. I think maybe one of them, and I hadn't thought about this until this moment, is, there was this like this mindset that you had to carry with football of being, you know, physically your best and mentally. And I think sometimes I've lost that edge in my life of that discipline. And there was a confidence that came with that type of training and, you know, not only physically, but mentally. And I think sometimes I find myself very not routined and very mm-hmm. undisciplined, and I long for structure like that. And it's just hard to have that without.
Yeah.
So I think the other thing I long for is like a team, you know, other than my wife, I have that, but
course.
I think like a team of a mission of like, what are we doing? And I think that that's the other thing that I think about of how do I create that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that. And also like with team, there's something in like going to like, let's say like, I need to go like brainstorm a little bit. I need to go, you know, write up whatever. You could go into your little coffee nook at your house and just do it right there. But there's something about going to a workplace where there's a sense of like community, even though you don't know who any of these people are, but she's on her laptop doing something. He's over here having a meeting with someone and they're dreaming up something. And then this guy's over here, like, you know, writing out whatever, and this guy's drawing and whatever, like something about jumping into that energy of creative flow, of dreaming flow, of what if flow. There's something about having that team vibration.
Yes. For sure.
That's powerful.
Yes. I completely agree. And it's so funny. I when I'm not in a good place, I tend to isolate. And I don't know why I isolate, but it's not how I want to be. And even over the last couple months, I've kind of like, you know, probably have similar lives a little bit. It's not your normal 9-to-5. And like, it's so easy to just isolate. And so I completely agree with you. I think community is so important to this thing that we call life, and and the energy, like what you're talking about, like that energy and coming together and even being in the same room, like you're saying, I think can make a huge difference in the dreams that you have within you and bringing those things to life.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Let's move into gratitude a little bit. I want to hear about some things that you're grateful for throughout this journey.
Yeah. Number one, I'm grateful for my wife. Like
100%.
She's been with me through the ups and the downs, and has stayed with me and has, you know, never made me feel less than. And so I think that that's number one. And the other thing is she's probably like the most talented person I know when it comes to design, when it comes to like how she thinks and the skill set that she has. And so I just feel very, very lucky.
And she's stunning.
Yeah. And she's stunning.
We're going to talk about her. She's not right there.
She's right there
on the couch.
She's stunning.
But when I was going through your socials and I saw this one picture you put, I was like going through like this. And then it was a picture of you and her popped up and I go, whoa. Like that was my honest reaction. We're like, whoa, she's pretty. Sheesh.
Yes.
I'll go.
Very true. It's very, very true. And so I would say like that's the number one has, you know, over the last couple of years, especially is us growing closer together because she's created an environment to where I feel okay with being vulnerable and not holding stuff in. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of my life, I held stuff in because
I need to have a second episode with your wife because I have so many follow-up questions. Yes. That every time you say something, I was like, what was that like for you? Like, how do you do that? Continue.
Yeah. I think secondly is probably family. We're very family oriented. Her family and mine, I have two little brothers that we've become a lot closer over the last couple of years. I'm 9 years older than my youngest little brother.
Wow.
and 4 years older than my middle brother. But it's just been really cool to, you know, kind of us growing up with that age gap and mm-hmm. me always at friend's house. We never really grew that relationship to where now it just feels like that team thing that I talk about. I think mm-hmm. that those two are like a huge part of what I do.
Do you guys all live in the same city?
Yeah, we all live, not in the same city, but we live within like 20 minutes away.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same city.
Yeah.
We all live in Dallas. So
totally. And your parents are still there too?
Parents are there. And mm-hmm. then Chloe's whole family is
there.
Beautiful. So I think that we've realized that, you know, what do we want in life? And talking about the gratitude thing, it's like we want to get the house that we love and mm-hmm. we want to have mm-hmm. kids and we want to have a dog. And I kind of just want to be a dad and maybe write a book or something.
So
I think that that's kind of the plan is it's that family. Like we love the suburbs.
Yeah.
So
can I ask you a question about your parents?
Yeah.
How have they responded to your life, like where you are now? Like, you know, obviously our parents are our biggest supporters usually. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but your parent can be your, you know, biggest cheerleader throughout life and whatever. But you're in a world that is this like entertainment industry mm-hmm. / motivational and mm-hmm. like whatever we would call what it is that you do is so probably foreign maybe to what they knew growing up. How has this been for them watching you grow and grow into this?
Yeah, I think so when the whole drug and rehab thing happened, like they weren't very happy and there was a lot of strife and, division between my parents and me and my brothers and like our family was just not in a good place. Shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
And we go to, you know, there's a week of family therapy and we all go there and we're like, oh, we're all messed up.
Yeah, you know.
And so I think that 4 years ago it kind of was this rock bottom moment mm-hmm. for, you know, Chloe and I, but also my family and I mm-hmm. to where we realized that things were kind of not how they seemed. Like mm-hmm. everything for so long had kind of been a mask and we'd had to put on the smile. And
oh, we're so good at doing that in the church. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yes.
Let me tell you. Is your dad still a pastor?
He is.
Yeah. Yes. This, and we're good at doing that. And I don't want to, I feel like a few years ago, me would be like, oh, we're so good at doing that. We could be fake and like say it with a little bit of like jab mm-hmm. to it. Now I say it with a little bit of, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier. We don't have permission to be real and raw when you're held to a standard correct. That you didn't ask to be held to.
Yes.
But you're like, I want to continue doing what I'm doing, pastoring, whatever, whatever, but I have to do it with this mask on because you're not ready to receive it without the mask.
Correct. Yeah. It's just fear creates fear. And it's just this culture of that. And so for my dad, especially, he's been a pastor for almost 40 years and has been in, you know, a few different churches, you know, from one in Louisiana, one in Texas. And I think for him, I've seen number one, he's probably one of like the most nicest, amazing guys I've ever met. But there was that thing of him caring more about what everyone else thought mm-hmm. than was I okay for a little bit.
Yeah.
The one cool thing that they did in family therapy, and I'm going to answer your question, but the one cool thing that they did in family therapy was they were just so open to realizing that maybe they had thought wrong. And I think just their willingness to be open.
And willingness to go to family therapy. Let's start with that.
Continue. I think is an amazing thing. Even my little brother's coming. And so to answer your question, it's funny. I had decided to leave the church after rehab. And I remember my dad saying, like, I don't want you to do it. Mm-hmm. And if it had been a year before, I would have said, okay, like, I'm going to stay. Mm-hmm. But I had learned over that time that, like, he can't be the God that I've made him in my head. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the relationship that we'd have. And so he might have been a little bit disappointed when I left, but they've both been such a support over the last 4 years, and we've all continued to grow. And yeah, they don't completely understand it. It's not like when I was a pastor, he could help me. He knew how to you do this.
Yeah.
In this world, it's kind of felt like I have to go elsewhere to get, you know, business advice or things like that. And we had kind of had, especially my dad and I, we'd had this kind of split of, you know, I felt like I swung the other way and didn't want him to speak into my life as much. And as of late, I've realized that, like, I really miss it, you know?
It's beautiful.
And so I'm trying to, I'm opening that back up with him, and he's always just been patient. He's never made me feel guilty. And I think that's very needed is that relationship coming back to where it's like, I feel like I can receive love from him. And then my mom has always kind of just held it down. She's kind of had her own awakening of, you know, what she grew up in and her role as a pastor's wife. And just think that, you know, it's healing is messy, like very messy. And sometimes I think we're in the middle of a mess and we think we're so messed up, but it's like, you can't organize without making it messy first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you walk into a garage and it's like, holy shit, like, how am I going to?
Yeah.
And so it's been 4 years of that. And in the midst of that, I've grown online and we've all just done our best, I think. And Chloe as well.
Yeah. I think even to like tag on to that, you bring up such a good visual of like healing is messy.
Yeah.
It's also like the temptation when you're going through healing and you see the mess, there's a temptation to be like, this must be wrong then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's messy and it's ugly.
Exactly.
So I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm messing it up.
Exactly.
I'm messing our family. We're good at sweeping things under the rug, and now I'm messing that up.
Exactly. And that's what we had believed for so long. And so the mess got there and it was just extremely uncomfortable. And it's like, how do we even talk about this?
Dang.
And I think all of us did a good job of just being like, let's just get dirty.
I'm so proud of all of you. and to get the whole team on board for that. Wow.
It was really cool for everyone to be. And some people took longer, like little brothers, but
sure.
But it was just like, this is what, when you think of like restoration, when you think of, you know, evolving, it's dirty. It's mm-hmm. you're dealing with feelings. You're dealing with things that happened 20 years ago. And so, I think people are like, is this what, I didn't know that this is what healing felt like. I thought I was going to feel joyful.
Dang.
But I think that, again, the joy comes once you deal with the grief.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. Healing is messy. Ooh. Yeah. And it takes work. Mm-hmm. Ooh. You know, it's just like.
Yeah. No, it's.
You got to really want it.
Yeah. Yes.
Where did I hear this recently? Somebody, was it in a song, a movie, a guest? Like, I'm trying to remember, somebody said something about like the work that it takes for the healing. And they're like, well, maybe I don't actually want the healing. Like, it was like taking too much. And that's such a real honest position.
For sure.
Like, maybe I'm okay like this because that's hard.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yes.
I'm going to stick with the familiar hell.
Yeah. I think that journey to opening up whatever it is on whoever's journey that's watching, I think it's divinely guided. Mm-hmm. I do. And I think, you know, you don't know what you're going into. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's about to happen. You're like, okay, this is the next step. I'm going to go to rehab. And then it's just like, you know, everything's out in the open. And these feelings are, but I would just say that it's so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so worth it. And you know that too. It's, mm-hmm. and it's not as scary. You know, it's very uncomfortable, but it's uncomfortable because it's unfamiliar and you're learning how to do these new things. And it's like learning how to just be good with the mess and be like, I'm still whole. Yeah. The fact that we were more whole as a family in the middle of all the BS than we were as a family going to church every Sunday, even with me being addicted and feeling, we were more whole and together because we were honest. And I think that that's what healing is that honesty with each other. And it kind of sucks because sometimes for people, like, people aren't ready for that. People aren't ready for, you know, your family member's not ready for that honesty. And you kind of get stuck with being like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to have to do this myself and be honest with myself. And it just is how it works out for some people as well.
Yeah. Before I get to another one of your gratitudes, I had another question that popped in my mind earlier when I was thinking about today. Your videos that go viral are so powerful, right? The message that you're saying. What does that look like when you've gotten that message? Is it just like a drop down into your spirit that you're like, I need to say this, or is it you press record and then just flow? Like, because you hit some nuggets and you'll do it in like three sentences. You know what I mean? You're just like, and boom, good luck processing that without falling to your knees. Okay, great. So like, what does that look like when you get these nuggets?
Yeah, I think for me, inspiration is like a huge part of inspiration and feeling. And so kind of what really helps me come up with what I'm going to say is music. You know, when you listen to a song and it makes you feel something?
Do I? Yes.
And, you know, I'll be thinking about some things, or, you know, I'll have seen a quote somewhere, and I'll just be like, what am I feeling right now? Mm. And I think really what I'm trying to say is when a message is from the heart, it hits other people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people are just so trying to speak from their head. And it's funny because over the last, you know, 3 years, there's been seasons where it's just like, I'm just trying, like, I don't feel like I have it right now because I'm just so in my head trying to figure out how to go viral. And I've had to like watch myself of being like, you know, the whole virality thing is one thing and whatever, and growing is one thing in the algorithm. But like, what's powerful is when you can just like sit down and maybe have a direction of where you're going and feel that feeling that you're trying to hit and just speak from your heart, even if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Even if, like, you know, you mess up a word and have to say it again. Like, I think that's what people are looking for. And because it's, you're, you know, giving away a feeling. And I think feeling is like the universal language of the world. And so I think that's kind of what I've tried to focus on is like, how do I make someone watch something and they feel this inspiration that I feel thinking about this?
Well, what a gift you have with your words, like to be able to do that.
You. There's another part of it though, is like, you know, the clothing and the color grading and the background and like the creation of like wanting it to feel like home. Chloe had said something a couple of years ago, like, hey, let me design.
I was about to ask you, was that your wife that
yes
did that?
And
girl, yeah. let me just give yeah. you your flowers right now, because I was just thinking, I was watching like one of your podcast episodes and I was looking at the lighting
yeah.
and then I this is what I think in my head. I go, well, I can never light my face like that. No way, that's not happening over here at this house. Okay, but then I'm looking at all the frames on the wall and the background, and everything is like it's home, but it's like a vibe.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay, what? Tell me, what were you saying? You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, those details and that intention is kind of what she's brought to this whole thing. And I'm kind of like fly by the seat of my pants. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just film it. I'll film it in the backyard. And she's like, no, like you, we're trying to create a feeling for people. Mm. Like, we want them to feel comfort and relief. Like, it's almost like, you know, I think of like Mr. Rogers and how he created, you know, that little house and what he wore. And and so I think that's kind of what we've, it was an accident how it became that. But over the time, we've just been like, how do you create like this overall just loving 60-second video that makes someone feel something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And even like to touch on like, you know, what I think people want is like that, you know, feeling that universal language. And there's also like from the heart, like people want to hear from the heart. I don't think people know that they want to hear from the heart. I don't think they are aware of that. I think their inside registers with authenticity of your insides.
Correct.
Right. And so like, even when you posted this video recently about, I haven't posted anything because I had anything to say.
Yeah.
And then like, what was your words? Like, stop trying or something like that?
Stop forcing it.
Stop forcing it. Yeah. Stop forcing it. Right. So I'm watching the video and I was like, okay, where is he going with this? Because I know he didn't just come on here to be like, I don't have nothing to say and that's it. Right. And then the words pop up, stop forcing it. And I was like, he did it again. Like in the most quickest, like simple, relatable, authentic way, because I will feel like, I'll be like, I don't have anything to say. I don't have whatever. And I'm like, well, let me just get on here so I could just be like, hey, what's up? Like, just so I could like get, put my face out there and make sure people like whatever. I don't know. It's just like you were able to communicate such an authentic message that can touch people in whatever industry they're in, whatever place in their life they're in, whatever season of life they're in, whatever that means to you, stop forcing it. It cut somebody. Like, well done.
Yeah. Just well, thank you so much. And I think it's really cool, because I think it just shows, even when you see culture today, it shows how connected we really are. Mm-hmm. I think that there is this frequency or vibration or energy that all of us have that we're all looking for. It, maybe it is that authenticity, that vulnerability, or just these universal truths of, yeah, I think that that's right.
Yeah.
And I think the only, it's not like I know exactly what that is, but I think when I'm operating in, I really didn't know what to say. I was just like, I've been sitting here for literally an hour and have like 50 bloopers. I'm just going to say it. And I'm just not going to really worry how people take, and that's where I came from.
Yeah.
And so I think it is this, you know, just be real. Like, you don't have to perform. Like, let's take off the mask. Let's just be real. I don't have anything to say. I think that that's what all of us are looking for, especially in like the age of like AI and like everyone's scripted. And it's like, you can just tell, like, you can tell that this is someone saying something from AI. Mm. And so I think people are even easily can see and recognize, oh, that's, I think that that's real. I think that's what people are looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Looking for truth.
Yeah, just be honest. Mm-hmm. You don't have to perform, and just say what's on your heart.
And then also something that popped in my head listening to you just right now about, like, you know, we're looking for everybody, like we're looking for that authenticity and whatnot, and just like that vibration. It's also like whatever frequency you are vibrating at, that's what you're going to attract and see and feel.
Yes.
So like, if you're vibrating at this low frequency of just anger and resentment, anxiety, like you're operating like down here, you're going to see that video. Let's just say that particular video of, I don't have anything to say, and then stop forcing it. And you're going to go, then why did you make this video?
Yeah.
Why? I just wasted my time watching this video. Like, that's how you will receive that. Right?
Exactly.
So it's like, wherever you're at, that's how you're going to perceive the world around you. It's like almost a call to anybody listening and watching, like, look within. Why do I love this? Something that you love. Why does this make me feel good? What is it? Where am I at? What's this? What's that? Like, all of that, everything is like a call to like look within.
Yes. And I think that we forget sometimes how powerful we are and how much, you know, obviously we can't control everything, but we can control ourselves. Mm. And I think that what I've learned, especially over the last couple of years, is the power that I have within myself and the responsibility that I have. If I can get myself into a good place, whether it be through becoming inspired or whether it be through meditation or being honest or, you know, getting this off my chest or, you know, working out and so on, if I can get myself there, I'm going to attract a different reality. Mm-hmm. My reality is going to look different because I'm not playing victim anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not acting like it's in everyone else's hands. Mm-hmm. Like, and I have to remember that is like, and for a lot of us is like, we are the alchemizers of our own life. And yeah, you can have up and down days and this day's bad, but like, it's literally a 1 second reset of like, no, I have the power. It's within me. Yeah. And like, I attract what I think about myself and how I feel. I'm attracting it, just like what you're saying. Yeah. And so when I'm in a good place, and I'm not always in a good place, but when I am, I tend to attract good things.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so cool. And I think sometimes we can forget it because sometimes we feel like maybe we're being controlled, and maybe we are in some ways, but no one can get here unless you let them. Yeah.
It's good. Give me another gratitude from your life.
Another gratitude is, I think I'm just like really lucky to even be able to put a video out and for people to want to listen. I think that that's still insane to me that, that people resonate on that level. And it's just really, really cool to me. It's cool. I think the other gratitude is that, like, you know, I mess up a lot. And I've messed up a lot. I mean, I've literally failed out of school and I got kicked off a scholarship. And, you know, then I went to rehab and then I relapsed again a couple of years ago. And it's just like, I have gratitude for the grace of God, but also the grace of people around me and teaching me how to have self-grace. Because I usually, I shame is kind of what I deal with when I feel shameful. And so people have shown me what love looks like through hard times.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to keep quoting you to you, but you said another nugget. Something about shaming yourself into healing versus loving yourself into healing. Can you expand on that thought a little bit?
Yeah, you can't hate yourself into change. You can only love yourself into change. So most of my life, and this is just personally, the thing that got me going was this self-hatred, this self-shame. It's like, that's the thing that was causing me to be like, okay, like I feel guilty. I have to change. And what I realized through the rehab experience was that like, this was the number one blockage of why I could not change is because of the way that I saw myself. It's because I didn't trust myself. And I think it comes down to self-trust. When you have this shame towards yourself, it's because you don't trust yourself. And there's this disconnect between you, the future you, and you and the present you or whatever it is. It's this disconnect of why are we not on the same page? And the only way to really end this like civil war inside of like one side versus the other is to extend a peace treaty. Mm. And it's just this conscious. You know, it's this conscious decision. It's a choice, and it might not feel comfortable because you're mad at yourself, but just to being like, you know what? Why are we at odds? Like, I don't want to hate you anymore. I don't want to feel shameful towards you anymore. And you're really talking to like the 7-year-old kid in you. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to feel this way towards you. I want to choose to extend love to you. And this is going to, we're going to have to learn how to love each other. And I'm going to have to learn how to love me. And it's just making that, extending that, and then learning how to do that, and being more gentle with yourself and being patient with yourself and still giving yourself accountability. But it's just being a lot more gentle. Mm-hmm. For so long, I forced and forced and forced.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. That's not how I respond. And I don't think that's how many people respond. And so I had to extend gentleness to myself. And that's worked better for sure.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for like extending gentleness to yourself does not mean that you're giving yourself a pass.
Correct.
You're not like, because there's like that fine line of, yes, like where you want to change, right? Yes. And then if you may mistake gentleness for giving yourself a pass, then you're like, well, I'm not really changing. Like, pause for a second. Like, we're not saying like, hey, it's okay.
Do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's that approaching your redirection, okay? Like I'm redirecting my daughter. She's a toddler. And when she's doing something that we don't want her to do, we redirect. And we're not just, no, don't do that. Angry voice, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, we're not going to do that, but what we can do is we can do this.
Yes.
It's applying grace and gentleness to the redirection.
Exactly. I like to say, you can either be your own bully or your own best friend.
Mm.
And I think I listened to the bully for so long. You're stupid. You belittle yourself. Why are you doing it like this? But the best friend that you have is going to also hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Is going to also say, hey, like we're doing that. We don't need to do this anymore. Yeah. Let's go this way.
Yeah.
But the way that they speak to you is out of a place of love because they care about you. So it's tapping into that best friend in your head.
Mm, that's so good. That's good. All right. Give me one more gratitude. One more gratitude from your Vita.
One more gratitude. There's a lot of things to be grateful for. I would just say like overall health.
Mm-hmm.
This hasn't happened yet, but I'm actually like, I'm really excited to have kids. I know this is, I'm going to already be grateful for it because I'm just excited for it. So hopefully kids are on the way soon and I'm grateful that I get to be a dad at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have an ideal, like when you think about family, oh, I want 3 kids. I want a soccer team. I want like, where are you guys at? What are you?
Okay. This is what we want. We want a house with a pool. We probably want like 4 kids.
Cuties.
We want to have like a grill out there and like a pizza oven
to
where like every Friday night is pizza night. Every Tuesday night is like Taco Tuesday.
Love it.
We want to have, you know, the lights in the backyard and enough grass to play. And, I just want it to be a home that is full of love, the fun Christmas traditions, all the traditions. We want to have that. And so the cousins coming over, that thing.
Oh, I love
it. So that's kind of what we think.
What a beautiful vision.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh my gosh. I enjoyed it. Thank you for being here. I'm grateful for you being here, taking time out of your schedule, coming to sit down, share some of your story, some of the inner workings of you behind what we get to see on social media. Like, thank you for sharing all of that. You're such a cool dude. Like, I'm so happy for you and your family. Like, I really, like when you're talking about your family and like them all doing like the therapy and stuff, my genuine inside thought was, I'm so proud of them.
Thank you so much.
Like all of you, like very, very cool. Just excited for you, man.
Well, thank you so much. And it was so much fun talking to you.
Thank you. Truly. Thank you. Thank you everybody for watching, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.